Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I hope you're ready tonight because, man, this is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. And I hope you're ready tonight to dive in. Anybody ready to learn? Three of you. I don't know why the rest of you are here then. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise just for healing in her body right now in Jesus' name. Now, tonight, I'm going to ask you to do me a big favor, and tonight, I want to loose this word without minimum distractions, okay? And when I'm saying that is that the enemy does not want me to loose this word, okay? So tonight, I want you guys to have your Bibles, your notebooks, and your pens because, man, I'm about to drop some things in your spirit, and it's going to be awesome, okay? You're gonna walk out of here and go, man, I never knew this one. Are you ready for this tonight? Amen. So in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 8, there is a lot of things that happen in this chapter. And can I take my time and go through it with you tonight? Because this chapter right here deserves all the time that I can give it because there's so much in this chapter that pertains to us and to even things around us and some of the designs of the enemy that tonight I'm going to show you some things and some of us are going to walk out of here and go, man, okay? But I need you to realize tonight that in Acts chapter 8 that there is some very big things that happen and these are things that apply to your life and can actually help you to grow, help reveal some things so that you know how to deal with them, amen? But tonight, I want you to realize who he is the Holy Spirit moves, and he can move you. Oh, no, y'all got to help me right now. You see, you got to realize there's times when things happen to get you to move, and there's times when the Holy Spirit just moves you. Oh, no, 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 y'all got to hear me now. All right, you got to catch this before I even get started because I can already tell the anointing's coming on already. You watch me. You ready? Watch this. Watch what's getting ready to happen. There is a time when the Holy Spirit allows things to happen to get you to move. But then there's times when you've completed the task, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will take you and move you. I'm giving everybody a minute to get settled because I don't want anybody moving around once we get started. Amen. All right, you ready? Acts chapter 8 in verse 1. Are you ready? You find that Stephen was just stoned to death and Saul was the one who was basically holding the coats of those that killed him. He was consenting to it. He was the one that was behind him telling them, go ahead, boys. And you find in Acts chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Stephen. And at that time there arose a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, I need everybody to catch this. Everybody was scattered except for the apostles. The deacons, the parishioners, the saints, everybody began to scatter because how many of you realize Jesus said, I'm going so that I can allow the Spirit of God to come in and do you with power so that you would be witnesses unto Judea, Samaria, and all the places of the earth. Do you remember when Jesus said that? He said, it's expedient for me to go so I can send the Holy Spirit. There's many times we blame the devil when really the truth is the Holy Spirit's got to allow things to happen to get you out of your comfort zone. No, y'all ain't going to help me already. See, a lot of us wonder why. Why do we go through things physically? Why do we go through things emotionally? Why do we go through things in the physical and in the money and the monetary and the emotions? And we go through all this stuff. And it's because sometimes it's the only way to get you out is for when the Holy Spirit steps to the side and says, now I'm going to let the pressure come on. See, if it was all comfortable, they would have stayed. Oh, no, y'all ain't going to help me. See, there's times when God tells people you got to move, and if you don't move, here's what happens. Persecution will come. No, you got to hear me. Listen, when you overstay, when God tells you to move, persecution will come. I just shared this with you last week. Mike Murdoch says you got to go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. There's seasons and times in everybody's life where God moves you, shifts you, positions you, and places you. Amen. Y'all making me want to preach. I'm trying to teach, but I'm already in getting ready to crank up mode. And you find right here that they got so comfortable in Jerusalem, all of them together, that they become a little cliquish. Lord ain't about no cliques. He ain't about no black church, white church, Hispanic church. He's about the church. He's not about your denominations. He's not about, oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Okay. And he will allow whatever to happen to get you out of where you are, and he'll even allow persecution to come. Do you realize God will allow it to happen? And the Holy Spirit will be right there waiting. And when you move, when he tells you to move, then he will endue you with power. Oh, y'all ain't, no, okay. So let me just keep going. Are you ready? Verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc on the church. He entered into every house, inhaling men and women, and committed them to prison. Everybody say, now that's some persecution. Come on. When they kick in your door because you pray, y'all ain't going to help me. When they kick in your door because you believe in Jesus, that's persecution. Y'all ain't going to help me. See, we got it easy in America for now, but one day will come when we'll be underground. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. See, one day they're going to want to take this Bible that you take for granted and the dust is growing on. One day you'll beg for one page of it like they do in China. You realize that in China they literally take a page and they memorize it and they pass it. That's called hunger for the word right there. And then they quote it back and forth to each other. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up. Okay, that's fine. Great persecution came upon the church. Do you understand that we're living in the last days? And believe me, it's going to get worse before it gets better. No, y'all ain't going to help me. See, you need to understand that they're going to start rising up and calling us left wing. You're the ones that want to take away our abortion, and you're the ones that want to take away this and that, and you're taking away our freedom when really we're trying to protect life. That's good preaching already, Pastor. Thank you. You don't have to say nothing. Verse 4, and therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere. See, here's what happens when persecution hits us. We run and hide in a hole. No, y'all didn't say. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, man, I'm telling you, I'm about to preach and I don't need none of your help. Watch this. When persecution comes to your house, you want to run and hide and get in a hole. When things don't go right, you shut your door. When everybody comes by to say hi, you shut your door and go, I'm not going today. I'm not dealing with this today. I don't want none of that. Because persecution is trying to get you out, but yet you're closing yourself in. No, y'all ain't going to help me one bit. And what happens is when you close the door on God, you miss the miracles. See, persecution is not meant for you to close the door and hide. It's meant for you to come out. Listen, your mess will become your message. Your past will become your preach. Oh, y'all got to help me up in here. Listen, persecution where you missed it and people still talk about you, but you know God got a hold of you through his son, Jesus Christ, and you know that you wasn't in the mess you used to be yesterday, and you turn around and wave at it and you keep right on marching forward is because you realize that persecution only comes to those who's taken territory for the kingdom of God. Persecution only comes when you're doing something right, not when you're doing something wrong. Oh, y'all, listen, y'all got to help me right in here, right now. You wonder why is the devil picking on me? Why is this happening? It's because he knows that greater is inside of you, and he's just trying to get you to close the door and not come out. Woo, glory, I'm preaching it up. I don't care. I'm going to preach whether you like it or you don't. You just go ahead and realize that I was sitting in a group of Christians yesterday, and they were talking about the car breaking down and the air conditions breaking down and the bodies breaking down. And one of them looked over at the other one and said, "But don't you realize I'd rather be persecuted for Christ? I would rather things go upside down here, because when I get there, I ain't got to worry about nothing. So guess what, devil? Throw your best, but I'm still going to stand. Having done all, I'm going to stand. I don't care if I ain't got the money. I don't care if the car breaks. I don't care if things don't go right. I'm still going to stand. I'm going to stand because I don't stand on my own. I stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, who already overcome the devil. So when persecution runs, it's not for me to slam the door. It's for me to come out. Ooh, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Do you understand that the church recognized that and they didn't go hide in their doors? Actually, what happened was the Holy Spirit gave them the boot. And when they went out the door, they didn't go out in their power. Oh, come on now. Listen, when persecution comes, understand you're not going out powerless. You're going out powerful. Oh, no, y'all got to help me. When it comes, just go ahead and realize, I know it's coming, so let me receive the power to go ahead. No. Listen, when it hits you, I dare you to get in your prayer closet. When it hits you, I dare you to get your praise on. I dare you, when persecution comes, instead of bowing down and bow out, you stand up, lift your hands up, and declare, I got a God who's bigger than my circumstance. They went throughout all the area preaching the gospel. It did not, y'all need to hear me. It was not the apostles, it was the people. Y'all waiting for pastor to stand up on a box in a corner and preach, and God's just waiting for you to get out of your, y'all ain't going to help me. But I'm not perfect. God didn't say you had to be perfect. He just called you to be redeemed. Let me clear something up real quick. Well, the Lord will forgive me. Repentance means you turn from it and don't go back to it. You got a problem with your mouth? Repent. You got a problem in your actions? Repent. Turn away from it. Y'all ain't going to like me one bit. Okay. I just better keep right on going then. And then we get down to verse 5. Here you find this guy named Philip. He was a deacon. Y'all remember back in chapter 6, they set apart 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and power. You remember Stephen, great faith, but then there's this man named Philip. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Now, I want to help you. You ready? Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile. They had one foot in, and they had one foot out. Listen. The first place that the Lord allowed the Holy Spirit to push Philip was in some people who had one foot in God's blessing and one foot in the world. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look at verse 7. What happened? For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many. Not just one. Everybody say many. That were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, problems of the skin. Y'all ain't going to help me right now. And that were lame were healed. Wait a minute. A deacon. A guy who served tables. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. The person who cleaned the toilet and took care of the widows. You find him serving in the house of God. He's serving. All he was doing was serving while the apostles stayed in prayer and in the word. All he did was serve. No, y'all got to hear me. Listen, don't worry about where you're serving, just serve. No, you need to catch me right now because, see, people want position, they want a title, but they don't serve. And when you don't serve, there's no anointing. So when people appoint you, they appoint you because of your gift, not because of your anointing. I've made that mistake as a pastor. I put people in positions because of their gift. It's quiet up in here. See, we got to realize that in the body of Christ, the Lord's just asking you to serve. That's all he wants. Jesus said, he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. See, can I help everybody here? Why is it that we want to come to church, we fill a pew, but we don't want to serve? See, what happens is today in the church, you got 10% that runs the ministry. And 90% sits in a pew. And they come in and they get fed every time they come in. And they go right back out the door and nothing happens to what they just received. But the 10% that's serving, watch the anointing. No. Watch this. Do you realize Philip was just serving? And the Lord said, I've seen what you've got. Now I'm going to promote you by the Holy Ghost. You find him becoming an evangelist. Well, I want to be this in the church, and I want to be that in the church. If you serve, watch what the Lord will do. Listen, I don't have to appoint you to do anything. The Holy Spirit will promote you. Listen, the Word of God says your gift will be made room for in the church. There is room for you in the church to grow. I don't care how big the ministry gets. There's room for you in the body of Christ for the gift. But it's another thing when you serve and allow him to promote you. Oh, come on. Listen, I don't want you just to be this person that was cleaning toilets forever. I want to see you become that toilet cleaner, to being that teacher, to being that... Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Do you realize that? Lay your hands on her back. Lay your hands on her back. Just put your hand right there on her back. Right there. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Yeah, that garbage has got to come out. Shh. That garbage has got to come out. See, we don't just preach the word. This is where the word comes alive. Amen. Lisa, how's your lungs? Miracles, signs, and wonders. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Tonight must be just for lungs. I don't know what the deal is tonight. But in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now I thank you, God, for touching and healing. And anything that is not of God, right now, you got to leave those lungs. I ask you to take away every taste, everything, every piece, every part. Lord, that thing that's meant to try to kill her will be loosed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. She's going to cough that mess out. She's all right. Just let her cough that mess out of there. Just cough that mess right on out of there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let it come out. Let it come out. You can't sit here and preach and not the Holy Spirit move. Listen, unclean spirits will have to come out. No, y'all need to hear me. Unclean spirits have to come out. Listen, we don't play church. This is the church where the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, and that stuff's got to go. When you begin to talk about the Holy Ghost, you better believe some things are going to start getting messy around here. You watch a man of God, a woman full of tumors in her stomach, he punches her in the stomach and all of them come out. That's messy. Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing up in this house. I don't know about anybody else, but junk in lungs got to come out. Tumors is going to fall off. Ears are going to open. Eyes are going to see. lungs are going to be repaired. Lord, we just praise you. We just praise you for it right now. Glory to God. Much better. Much better. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Just a deep breath. Yeah. Oh, she says. Welcome to revival. Welcome to a move of God. Don't look at the numbers. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about what they got to say. I had somebody just tell me, said, you know what, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't work in a loud church. He can do it in a quiet church too. And I looked at somebody and I said, isn't it funny that everywhere Jesus went, there was a sound that went before him? You be quiet if you want to, but I want to be where Jesus is. I want there to be a sound. I want there to be a shaking in the atmosphere. I want there to be a kingdom shaking anointing. I want there to be something that breaks, moves, shoves out of the way, and allows God to move in the place. Amen? So guess what? If you don't like it loud, don't come here. If you don't like it messy, don't come here. We're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. How you feeling now? Better than I have all week. Glory to God. Are y'all ready? Verse 8 says this, and there was great joy in that city. No. See, listen, we should be rejoicing whenever somebody can't breathe on a platform and we pray over them and now they're sitting over there going, Pastor, I breathe better than what I did. Come on. We need to have some joy in the house when somebody comes in sick. But yes, now they can actually go, I feel better than I felt in a week. No, see, there needs to be some joy that begins to happen. You notice Pastor didn't lay his hands on her. I didn't have to. You need to realize what's in you. Come on, you need to realize what's in you. What's in you? What's in you? There is some anointing that is tapped up on the inside of you that you keep running from because of persecution or what people say about you or what you even think about yourself. But I'm telling you that the Lord is trying to show the church that I said I would pour my spirit out on you in the last days. See, it's not just about one man of God. It's about a bunch of little Jesuses running around. If you call yourself a Christian, there should be some Jesus running around. There should be some Jesus at your work. There should be some Jesus going through McDonald's and through Walmart. Listen, when you walk up and down the aisles, you ought to see the possessed trying to run from you or run to you to get free. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Oh, I ain't even got started yet, and I got a long way to go. Can I get to verse 9? Because we're about to walk through some deliverance. Y'all ready for this? Thank you, Lord, the air conditioning kicked on. Hallelujah. Some of y'all in here, y'all bundling up now. It'll cut off in a minute. You don't understand. See, wisdom by the Holy Ghost allows you to fix things. You wouldn't have air conditioning right now if the Holy Spirit didn't teach me how to do it. Amen? Let's look at verse 9. Before we do that, I want you to understand the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is a soul winner. Miracles, signs, and wonders will follow an evangelist. Are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit will move on evangelists just so it can pull in those that don't believe, because when miracles start happening, people start shaking their head going, I don't know what that is, but I just got to figure that one out. Hello? And in verse 9, you begin to find some of that. And there was a certain man named or called Simon. Y'all know this story, Simon the sorcerer, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He went around using trickery and magic to get people to believe in him. Y'all ain't going to like me here in just a second. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. To have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You need to hear me. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to walk around and they're going to do things. And we're going to be blindsided by them because we think it's God. And really, it's not. It's sorcery. Let me just keep going. Verse 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Everybody say freedom. Everybody say salvation. When truth comes, it reveals darkness. Oh, no, listen. And you understand the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll reveal all things. Do you understand that when the Holy Spirit comes into the house, He's going to start pulling back some things? Oh, no. Y'all got to listen. Things that people used to be bound up in, the Spirit of God that is inside of you. Y'all, man, you're not getting this. You're not getting this. You wonder why when you get around people, all of a sudden they start shrinking back and everybody goes, man, I didn't realize that. I didn't see that before. Because the Spirit of God that's in you will begin to pull back the cloak of darkness. Oh, you remember the veil? You remember the veil, me preaching on the veil? What happens is that the Spirit of God that's in you just reaches up and begins to pull it off. Oh, y'all, listen. You got to see this. And the people begin to believe. They begin to profess that Jesus was the Lord of their life. They begin to tie in, not to something that was fake, but tying into the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Can I help everybody here? You know what my number one job is? To see you get saved, but then to tie into the kingdom of God and learn your inheritance. Learn who you are. Are you hearing me? Learn who you are. I can bring you to the water, but I can't make you drink. I can bring you truth, and I can lay it before you. I can prepare the table, and listen, whenever I give the word, you can believe it's cooked, it's seasoned right, and it's laid out before you, but I can't force you to partake of it. I can only bring truth to you. Hello? Now you can take one of these. Because you done got your healing, now you just got a tickle in your throat. That's all that cough drop's going to do is soothe that throat. Go ahead. Watch this. Now let's get to the good part. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse 13. I need you to see this. Then Simon himself believed also. This is very important. Then Simon himself believed also. Simon said this. Y'all missed that. Simon said out of his mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord of his life. I need you to catch this. And when he was baptized, everybody say salvation, water baptized. We consider that a Christian. Watch this. A believer, water baptized. Watch what happened next. He continued with Philip. He connected himself to Philip. No. He got close to Philip. Now you're going to see this in a minute because it's going to make sense. And wherever Philip went, he wondered and beholded the miracles and signs which were done. He confessed out of his mouth that Jesus was Lord. He was water baptized, declared to the world that the old ways was washed away, and then connected himself to Philip. See, you got to understand. No, I can't give it away. I just got to, let me just go ahead and read the next part. I can't give it away yet. In verse 14, you find the next level. See, you have a work of an evangelist, but then you have the work of an apostle. Apostle. It says in this verse that when they had heard that the word was received, the apostles sent Peter and John. Are you ready for this? Apostles are meant to bring order into birth. They're meant to be set up or to set up the things of God and put it in order. See, an evangelist comes in and they get people saved and they do great miracles so that they can get people into the presence of God. But there's something about when an apostle comes in authority. When a pastor steps in and begins to lift up and train and put things in order. Are y'all hearing me right now? See, you need to understand that apostles work in different levels of anointing. Here we go. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, saved, water baptized, but not filled, with the Holy Ghost. Watch this. For it was as yet it didn't fall upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 17, watch this. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Impartation. Loosing and infilling. Y'all ready for this? Because this is getting ready to get real to a lot of people right here. I warned you that I was getting ready to preach on something. And I'm so glad it's only 8 o'clock because I'm getting ready to. Are you ready? Watch this. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. I'll come back to that one. Saying, give me also this power that on whosoever I lay my hands, that he may receive the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. How are you going to ask for the power to lay hands on others to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're not filled? Can I help everybody? I don't want nobody laying hands on anybody in this church if you're not saved, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that it's transferable by the laying on of hands. You do things and you can allow things to move. Listen, the word says to not lay hands on suddenly. So listen, there's times when I've looked at people and I said, don't put your hands on me. I've had people come to me and say, can I pray for you? No, you can't pray for me. Oh no, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Listen, the only person that can protect this house is this old boy right here with discernment by the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you in a funk, you ain't laying your hands on me because I don't want your funk. You hang around me, I'm going to move. Y'all, listen, you don't know me. That's Georgetown slang. You don't know me. If you want to see my feathers get ruffled, you go ahead and be in something that's not of God and then think you're going to try to act like there's something on you. Pastor, you just went to a whole nother level. I'm tired of fake. I'm tired of sorcery. I'm tired of people standing up with a gift with no anointing. Y'all, I'm moving on. Watch this. Watch this. But Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Do you understand? No, I need to share with you the importance of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of God for you. You can't live up to it. Some of y'all in here trying to earn your way into the Holy Ghost. Can't earn your way into the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. Not by works so you can boast. It's the gift of God. Watch this. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Can I help everybody? Wait a minute. Can I help everybody? This was the same guy who was saved. This was the same guy who believed out of his mouth. He spoke it. This is the same guy who was water baptized, but yet you find right here that his heart was not right in the sight of God. It's one thing for your spirit to belong to God, but your actions in your heart. David said, or God said this about David. You ready? He said, David is a man after my own heart. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. He has to look at the heart. He looks at the heart because out of the heart is the wellspring of life. No, y'all gotta, no, watch me. If you have a problem, it's because you have a heart problem. I'm going to show you something. Listen, everybody, please pay attention. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. 22. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven. Everybody say forgive. Repent. No, no, no. Listen, say repent. Nobody wants to preach repentance in church no more. Watch this. You got a problem in your heart. Verse 23, here's where it gets fun. For I perceive, how did he perceive it? By the Holy Spirit. No, 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 catch me. You gotta get this. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. You can be saved, you can be water baptized, but if you have a bitter spirit, you will not function in the anointing of God. The gall of bitterness means that God looks at you and sees a root of bitterness in your life. No, see, I warned you I was going to preach on bitterness. So let me just go ahead and make this real. If you got a problem with somebody from your past, and you are bitter, then there is a root of bitterness that has dug inside of your heart. And you wonder why you are not full of the Holy Ghost. You wonder why when you preach, you sing, you teach, you do all this stuff, that the anointing is still not. Bitterness. See, this wasn't just a little bit of bitterness. He was in the gall of bitterness. In other words, he had went to where bitterness had already been the root, but now it was producing bitterness. It's one thing to have a root because you know what? You can allow the Spirit of God to show it to you and you pluck it out. No, no, no. Y'all need to hear me. It's another thing to let it grow and bear fruit. Do you understand that this man didn't take care of the root? So what happened was it began to produce fruit. It began to produce fruit. I'm going to give everybody a minute. Because I'll make sure that there's no distractions when I get into this. Watch this. Watch this. You have to pluck the root of bitterness out. You've got to allow the Spirit of God to dig inside of you and pull that out because what happens is you become bound or in a bond of iniquity. Pastor, what is a bond of iniquity? You just can't live right. You're bound up because of bitterness, you keep falling back into the same sin, the same routine, the same stuff over and over again. See, Simon was saved, was water baptized, but just as soon as that power thing come back up again, everybody's got their area. No, you need to hear me. Everybody's got your area. Everybody's got that one area where you do good and you're flowing and you're going and God's moving in your life. But when that one area comes back around, you find yourself, did I really do that again? Did I really do that again? Did I really let that happen again? No, come on. This is yes. I'm preaching truth. No. Did I really fall back into that again? Did I really step back into that again? Did I really get that on the bottom of my shoe? Because you just step right back into it again. By your choice, you step back into it again. And if you dig back, you'll find that there's some bitterness in there. Find somebody in lust, I can promise you, because you know what happens with lust? It digs back to you being rejected. Let a wife reject their husband one time. If they don't pluck it out, it turns into a form of pornography. Women, just go ahead and let your husband reject you one time. You know what comes. So does gossip. So does murmuring. So does tearing down your family, especially your husband in front of your kids when he's not there. Yeah, I'm preaching better than anybody saying anything right now. See, you can get into things right now. You just wonder why it come out of you is because you didn't deal with that root of bitterness. And if you've ever been hurt in a ministry and then you come to another ministry, give it enough time, because you know what will happen? Somebody's going to do something to cause that bitterness to come back. And when it comes back, if you don't pluck it out, it's going to bear fruit, and then you're not going to be able to stay. You got to go. Come on. Pay attention. Listen, watch this. Are you seeing what's happening here? The Spirit of God pinpointed this in the man. Everybody say bitterness. Bitterness will cause you to do a lot of things you never thought you would do. Just let somebody talk about you one time and hurt your feelings, or talk about your kids, or talk about. And every time you get around that person, no matter if they've asked you to forgive them or not, if you didn't deal with that bitterness, you allow that thing to stir you right back up again. Hello? 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 This is yes. This is truth. Pastor, you're preaching truth. And then what you find is that then you just can't live right. It just seems like your temper keeps coming back over and over again. You just got to, everybody's, you looked at me wrong. I want to slap you. You're talking about me. They ain't even talking about you. They looking at you in the corner, just looking at you. And you over there, they talking about me. Oh, you better tell me right now. Come on. I'm being truthful in church. You know it's truth. When you get into bitterness, you begin to imagine things that's not even. And if you don't deal with it, then what happens is it bears fruit and you spread it to your kids and you spread it to your spouse. And before long, you can't even come to church no more. You can't even come to church no more because now you done found bitterness with the pastor and the praise and worship leader and the teacher in the back. And you know what? You know that one kid. You ain't coming back to church because of one kid? Don't you know that kid's family is not in church? You worried about one kid? The gall of bitterness becomes the bond of iniquity. Anybody ever wondered why? You ever wondered why you just couldn't live right? Who are you bitter at? It's real in here right now. Who are you bitter at? I've seen people walk through deliverance over and over again. It made me cough stuff up. I've seen people go through deliverance, and it lasts for about 2 months, and they're right back to where they were. Why is that? It's because you didn't deal with the root. You just cut it off. So you got to understand that in front of my house, I had poison ivy growing up on the front of my house. And I was just going to go in there and just cut it down. You know what my brother-in-law told me? He said, don't touch it. Go get you some weed killer and kill it to the root. I said, you mean I got to let that mess grow? He said, let it grow and kill it to the root. No, y'all ain't catching nothing. It just went totally over your head. See, for too long, you've walked in and just pulled it out. You come to church on a Sunday morning, and the Spirit of God move on you, and you just pluck the top of it off of it. But you didn't realize that under the very bottom, that root was still digging, and it was still spreading, it was still causing more. It just popped up over here instead of where it was. Oh, yeah. Ooh, the Holy Spirit. You got to kill it. Some of us in here don't want to deal with it. So you keep knocking on pastor's door. Pastor, I'm right back in this mess again. You know, I got a lot of long suffering. I got patience is about as long as you can get it. But there comes a time when I want to just look at you and say, pull up your big boy pants, your big girl pants, and realize that nothing, no matter how much anointing oil I put on you, how much I pray over you, can pull out a root of bitterness. Only you can. Bitter to people in your past. I have a right to. Verse 24, then answered Simon, and he said, pray you to the Lord for me. Hey, you apostles, can you pray for me? Ooh. Just make it to Pastor Eric and him pray for me. It'll be all right. The anointing only goes so far. I have people come to church and they receive their healing in here. They walk out the door and they push in their stuff and they've thrown away their canes. And 2 days later, Pastor, can you pray for me again? Sure. But what didn't you deal with? See, the Lord gave you a reprieve long enough for you to realize it's better to be healthy than it is to be sick. Not, yeah, you're going to help me. Look at somebody and say, you got to deal with it. Pray you to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken will come unto me. You know, isn't it funny that most people say, Lord, please don't let the bad stuff happen to me, but yet you never deal with the thing that's causing the bad stuff to happen. It's been a good time for somebody to say something. Can I move on? Watch this. Verse 25, and when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Everybody say, order. When they came in, they uncovered. Do you understand that when the apostles got there, it had done been evangelized, but what they just did was cast out something that had had its hold over the whole city. You know why one of the biggest struggles I got in Georgetown is because the Lord's breaking some holds off of this city. Y'all ain't saying nothing up in here. People don't want me here. I know why you don't want me here. It's because what's inside of you, and I need to just go ahead and look at the camera right now, because what's inside of you has you in fear of what God wants to break in this city. I want to see the manifest glory of God. I want to see people take their rightful place. Amen. Can I keep going? Let's get back to Philip. Can y'all handle it? Oh, he done took the clock down. Look at him. He done took the clock down on me back there. He's like, Pastor, you preach until you're done. You know what? I done looked at that clock 3 times up there. Y'all something. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. You ready? An angel looks at Philip and says, Your season is done here. Move. It took an angel to wake him up. It was so good in Samaria. Woo, the anointing of God's flowing. Woo, oh man, miracle signs and wonders. Oh, it's good. And then the angel said, Now get up out of here. You got a place to go. Think about it. People's lives changing, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, All right, time to move. Had to send an angel to move them. Yep, just you got to move. Move, poke some. See, I can pick on Stephanie. I can push her around a little bit. Watch this. And when he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an Enoch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all of her treasure. Everybody say the moolah, money. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah. I just transfer you to understand what that was. The prophet. Watch verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join yourself to the chariot. It took an angel to move him, but only took the Holy Spirit to tell him to go catch that chariot, boy. Come on, that voice that says you better grab a hold of that one right there. No, y'all ain't going to help me. You better get close to that one right there. There is a reason why you've got to be joined to that one. No, y'all ain't going to hear nothing. See, what you don't understand is that it took an apostle to break the hold of Simon off of Philip. And then the Holy Spirit wants to show him how to join himself to people that need it. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. See, there's people that come in your life that join themselves to you, and they're not of God. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. They're there to actually just be the ones on the side watching and in the middle of. But then there's some that the Holy Spirit tells you, you better chase that one down. You better catch up with that one right there, because I got something that you got to do. Isn't it great how the Holy Spirit will reveal? No, y'all need to hear me. There's been some times in my life I said, Lord, what is it about that person? I never could put my finger on it. I never could find out what that was. What is that? What is that? And then all it took was for me to sit down with my apostle, and he said, Don't you see it's this? And I went, You kidding, right? Are you kidding me? And he's like, Yeah, that's it. Oh, glory to God. Bye. So you got to understand that when authority comes in your life, it's there to help you get where you got to go. The Holy Spirit is here to get you where you need to go. Are y'all still with me? Let's keep going. And Philip ran, verse 30. And heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you read? Can I just break this down real quick and give it to everybody? And then for the next couple of verses, he begins to break down everything that the prophet Isaiah was talking about the lamb being sacrificed. And he begins to break it down, and then finally he looks at him and he says, It is Jesus. What you're reading about in this is really what's already taken place today, and his name was Jesus. And in verse 34, the Enoch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom is this prophet speaks, of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, everybody said on their way, they came to a certain water. And the Enoch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now watch this. One man professes out of his mouth and is water baptized, but yet the root is still there. Another man who's hungry for God looks at him and says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I can't go any further. Here's some water right here. Can we just stop right here? No. See, I need to go ahead and stop right here because I realize I've been missing something my whole life. Come on, when do we get to the place where we remember when the first time we ever gave our heart to Jesus, we were on fire. Everybody in the world looked at you and said, what's the matter with you? Are you nuts? You a Jesus freak now? What happened to you? What? You don't drink with us no more? You don't want to hang out with us no more? What? You don't go to the club with us no more? What got into you? And Philip said, if thou believest with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Pooh! And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Are you still with me? And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized him. Before Philip was ministering to all these people, watching them get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, or not filled with the Holy Spirit, but saved and baptized. Well, glory. Yeah. Because you know what? When they come up out of the water, that's exactly what began to happen. Are you ready? Watch this. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more, and we went on his way rejoicing. That was perfect timing for that to go off right there. No. Can I help everybody? There is times and seasons where the Holy Spirit will get you where you need to go, but then he'll move you. Watch this. I don't know about anybody else, but I kind of wish the Holy Spirit would just teleport me like he did him. He come up out of the water. No, y'all ain't going to help me. Okay. So he comes up out of the water, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit says, your job here is done. Let's get you here. No. How many of y'all realize that is a miracle in itself? The Lord said, I can't get you to waste any time. Oh, no, y'all got to help me. Watch this. See, when you begin to move, when he tells you to move, then the Holy Spirit will get you on time and every appointment you need to make. But all it takes for you is to get off. Woo, Philip, I got to get you. No. See, here you were doing this and something attached to you that wasn't right. So what happened is I had to bring in the authority to take care of that thing. But now I got you to where you need to be. See, before it was for all of them, but now it's just for him. Sometimes it's for all of them. Sometimes it's just for. And instantly he was picked up. Now watch this. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached into all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Can I just, you know, the Bible does not give a name for no reason. When you look at where Philip was found, and you look up that word, it means stronghold. Sometimes the Lord's just got to take you and drop you off in the middle of a stronghold, so you can start to declare the goodness of God. Sometimes the Lord knows just who to drop off when he needs to drop. No, y'all ain't going to help me up any. You know what? There's a spirit of oppression over this city. Let me drop off a bundle of joy right in the middle of it. No, y'all ain't. Woo! You give me somebody who's got a gift of the Holy Spirit of joy that begins to bubble up on the inside of him. Watch where he drops you off at. Y'all ain't say nothing. You get around someone who's been depressed, and the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you has so much joy because you realize your joy comes from him and not from what you're going through. and you find yourself being placed right where you need to be placed. Everybody needs to hear me right quick. Watch this. Everything in chapter 8 will prove to you that you got to move when the Holy Spirit moves you. Come on. Johnny's sitting right back there in that back. I had to go to Dominion camp meeting because his desire was to go to Bible college. I came back and offered it to him. You know what? He moved. Just passed his course with 198.8. Heading into the summer classes. And you know what? I ain't never seen no college in my life turn around and write a man a check for going to college there. No, y'all ain't saying nothing. Man going to college there, and he turns around and goes, "Hey, Pastor, look what I got." He just walks up to me like it ain't nothing and goes, "I look at, wait a minute, you going to Bible college, you're supposed to be paying for it. They're sending you a check to go to school." Oh, rub some of that off on me. Come on, rub some of that off. No. Some of y'all, see, what we want to do is we want to go, "Oh, that's good for you." No, I want to get around that and just rub some of that off on me. No, listen. Somebody gets a new car, I got to go out and I got to, "Oh, that car smells good right there. That's a new car. All right, let me rejoice with you right now. I'm not envious. I rejoice with you because you know what? I know that what's coming is already, it's just coming down the pike. No, house? Oh, yeah, I'll come anoint your house. I ain't got a bit of problem anointing your house. You know why? It's because I want to rejoice with you. I want to walk in your new home and go, "Hey, look at this right here." Now, see, when do we get to the place where we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, man, and we rejoice with each other? No, we have the greatest reason in the world to be excited, man. We know that He saves, He delivers, He blesses. But yet the church people are some of the most depressed, down and out people I've ever seen in my life. They should look at my mom and dad and say, "Why do I go to church? They look worse than I do, and I live in the world." You go into a testimony time, and don't you say nothing about pastor, because I'm going to say this, and don't throw stones at me. "Well, I just want to give God glory. The devil been beating on me." I don't want what you got. What I want to hear was, "The Lord brought me through. I'm above and not below. I'm the head and not the tail." No. See, He came in one way, but He had to flee seven ways. Oh, no. See, I want to get around some people who know who they are. People who's led by the Holy Ghost, and you watch them come in the door sick, and you watch them go out healed. I just got to make it in the door, because when I get there, I'm going to have an encounter with Jesus. I'm tired of hearing people talk about, "Oh, woe is me." No, I don't want your "oh, woe is me." I want to hear how good my God is. You wouldn't even be here right now if He wasn't so good. Some of us in here done some things where you should have died. And by the grace of God and His love, you're still sitting here right now with a big cheesy smile on your face. Woo! I'll remind you of this and I'll close. Could not wait to preach out of this chapter tonight. Your persecution will drive you out of your comfort zone. God, why am I going through what I'm going through? Is because you come so comfortable that what He's called and anointed you to do, you've been sitting on. I had somebody just come to me this week and said, "I've never been hit so hard by the devil in my life." And I said, "It's because you just, listen, you just joined yourself together with me in this ministry." Man, I started going to church and it was awesome. And then I started serving in the church, and man, all hell broke loose against me. Yeah. It's because now the devil considers you a threat instead of someone just sitting on a pew. Just means when you get to heaven, you got to have two angels to hold your crown back and forth so that way you can walk up and down it. Listen, it wasn't the apostles. It was those that served that he raised up to reach hundreds and hundreds of people and watch their lives change. It was the apostles who come in and uncovered things. See, why do we consider ourselves less than when the Holy Spirit is in you? Hello, the Holy Spirit is in you. Last but not least, there's times when he moves you, and it may not be for the hundreds, it may be just for the one. And some of the places he might drop you off in, you may not want to be a part of. But here's what I want to tell you. When he places you in all authority of heaven. Amen. How many of you tonight, this really helped you? I'm going to speak very plainly for about 10 seconds. If there be any root of bitterness in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to show you and pluck it out. Want to be free? If you want to live right, then you got to pluck it out. And I don't know who this is for, but listen, there's some people in here, you've had marriages before. I'm not looking at anybody. You've had some marriages before. And because things didn't go right, you're holding bitterness. I'm not looking at anybody because the Holy Spirit told me I could not. But you are going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to help you pull that root of bitterness out so that you can receive the blessings that God has for you. Some of you are angry at your family. You have got to allow that root of bitterness to go, or you will never, and that's a strong word, you will never see everything that God has for you. You're wanting somebody to pay the price for you, but Lord is saying that they can't. You have to choose. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please, for just a minute. Father God, tonight, Lord, strong word. Very strong word, Lord. But Lord, I believe that you're revealing to the church, if we're going to be a Book of Acts church, that, Lord, there's things that we got to face, we got to flow, we got to go, we got to remove. And Lord, we thank you that tonight you're beginning to do some great things in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for truth and revelation. And Lord, tonight we give you all these things and we ask you to move in our lives. Lord, if there is anything in us, then Lord, we repent. I need you to hear, Pastor, tonight. The Lord says you have to repent. Repentance is when you turn away from. Lord, I thank you for moving in our lives tonight. And Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you convict every heart. And I thank you for it right now. And I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.